I'm reading to you this morning the same passage, actually, that we went through here two Sundays ago, but beginning in verse 12. We're going to focus on verse 14 this morning, but let me get you some context here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Father in heaven, Lord, we do ask your blessing upon our time in your word. I pray, Lord God, that you, by the power of your Spirit, would be our teacher this morning, and help us, Lord God, to have a disposition that those around us, those in the world even, might see and take note of how different and godly it is. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're taking a small step backwards in our exposition of the book of Philippians. Again, the last time that we were together here in this book, we talked about showing our salvation, showing what God has done in our life, and showing it to those around us, to the world around us. And one of the points in that message had to do with our disposition, really our attitude toward God and his people in doing and being what he desires we do and be. And in verse 14, Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit of God himself, says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." And while we talked about that briefly, it was convicting to me. Okay, it was convicting to me because I have found myself complaining about things sometimes, even disputing sometimes about things that, well, they really just don't matter in the grand scheme of things. So my message this morning is titled, "Without Complaining or Disputing," but I thought about titling it, "What Are You Complaining About?" Right? What are you complaining about? Because there are times when I find myself in the midst of that, I'm like, Why are you disputing this? Why are you complaining about this? All right. I find myself sometimes complaining about the opinions of other people, the opinions of other believers. I find myself disputing their opinions because, well, they're different than mine. Most times it's just in my mind. But occasionally it is out loud, occasionally right to the person whom I'm differing with, all right? And really that is exactly what the world does, isn't it? They're loud about it. And Paul is, I want you to know that he's not talking about complaining and disputing sinful behavior. He's not talking about disputing false teachings. He's not talking about being opposed to evil and even having a dialogue with others about why it is evil. No, rather this here is about us complaining and disputing things that God is allowing in our lives. People that God is allowing in our lives. And they're there to really grow us, to mature us. And then we complain about it. All right. This is about us complaining about trials, complaining about temptations, complaining about people that God has placed in our lives to teach us things. This is about us doing all the things that God wants us to do without complaining or disputing, so that we will become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom we shine as lights. This is about us not being and doing like the world does, especially among one another. In fact, the word complain, as it is used in our passage here this morning, is used most in Scripture concerning discontentment with another. Discontentment even with another person. All right. And when it's not about truth versus fallacy, it is an attitude that comes really from within us, an attitude of self-centeredness, an attitude of envy, an attitude of even self-exaltation. It's an attitude of, I want us to do things the way I want us to do things. My way is the only right way. And that is exactly what Paul is telling us not to do in verse 14. Have you ever noticed that people are opinionated? Well, I'm a people, you're a people, all right? We're in this. We're in this. We are guilty of it. And it is our nature, really, to be opinionated and complain and dispute about things, oftentimes, that really just don't matter. They just don't matter in the grand scheme of things. They just don't matter in the grand scheme of us living out our salvation before those around us. And when those things do happen, when we become opinionated, when we complain, when we dispute about those things that really don't matter, it hurts the body of Christ. It divides the body of Christ for no good reason. For the color of carpet in a church building. Yeah, that's a real thing. That is a real thing. People have left local churches because the leaders didn't do things the way they wanted them to do it. People have left the local church because they didn't get the recognition they thought they deserved. People have left local churches because of the music, okay? I could go on and on and on and on, okay? And I'll tell you, not music, but recognition. This is actually where my conviction came in. This is one reason. Now, I catch myself most times in my mind complaining, most times in my mind disputing, but it does come out. And the area of recognition is, I've got a story, and it was very convicting to me, okay? So I'm just going to share it with you. One of the reasons I decided to park on this verse today is because an instance came up, and I needed this I needed to park on this verse. And I thought, well, if I needed it, there's probably a really good chance that someone else here needs it too. Okay? So here we go. I am on the board of directors of Frontier School of the Bible, and we had a meeting back in May in which we talked about the need for additional class space. Okay? One of the ideas was to add some classrooms to the outside of the chapel building, but because of the property line, space is very, very limited. And so I said, what if we turned the addition a particular direction and changed the roof line from what we were originally thinking? And nobody was getting what I was describing. And it was a little frustrating to me. But then another person at the meeting drew a picture of exactly what I was trying to describe. And everyone thought it was a great idea, and he got the credit. And with everything in me, I wanted to say, that's what I was saying. You guys, it was my idea. Okay, with all that was in me, I wanted the credit. And it was in that moment I thought, you know, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And I had to keep telling myself that for 2 days. It just doesn't matter. And I guess in a way, I'm kind of, I'm only realizing this now. Me telling you this story is me getting the credit now. I've lost that battle. I'm just realizing that right now. Forgive me. Forgive me. Wow. Thank you, Lord. When it's not about truth versus fallacy, it's an attitude that comes. This is really convicting me now. Wow. We need to have communion again. All right. When it's not about truth versus fallacy, it's an attitude that comes from self-centeredness, from envy, from self-exaltation. It's an attitude of my way is the best. And it's a selfish attitude. And in that, we are forgetting what we are here for to begin with. We've lost the plot. We've lost the plot of God's glory, pointing people to Him. And so this morning's message is about returning to the plot. It's about God's purpose for us in the local church. It's about the things we must do without complaining, without disputing, so that we will become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. It is our nature to complain and dispute. It is our nature to want our way. But God saved us for more. Right, Elmo? For more Sunday school classes at 9:30. For more. God saved us for a purpose. And it is God's purpose that we must work out, pursue, and practice in the world around us without complaining, without disputing. And while I'm going to word my points here this morning in application form, really everything that we're going to look at comes from the context of what I read in verses 12 through 16. But our focus is verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. What things? Well, first of all, worship and glorify God. The instant we complain and dispute, it takes attention away from His glory. It points the glory to us. It magnifies us, or at least it tries to. But we are here. We are here in this body, in this room, in this local church to worship and glorify God. That is what our focus should be. To work out, pursue, practice, and display our salvation with fear and trembling. We're here to worship and glorify Almighty God. That is the plot. That's the plot. Even if we sing a song that you don't care for, glorifying God, worshiping God, that's the plot. Even if we don't sing a particular song you like, our plot is to worship and glorify God. Even if the slides sometimes don't match what we're singing. Even if an improper note is played, even if the person next to you can't sing and bothers you, even if they sing the wrong words, or even if they don't sing at all, the plot is to worship and glorify God. It's from your heart to His. That's why we're here. Even if it's too hot in here, even if it's too cold in here, even if the power goes out, even if the pastor preaches too long, even if he mispronounces a word, even if he uses improper grammar, even if he has too much application or not enough application, even if the carpet is gray, even if we don't have carpet, we've been there, right? Our purpose is to glorify and worship God, period. That is the plot. It's about our heart sincerely recognizing that our Almighty God and Savior is really all that matters. He is worthy of glory because He is the all-powerful God of the universe who is all-knowing about us, perfectly just, and yet chose to love and save us from His justice. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's us. And we're here to worship and glorify Him for that. We're here to worship and glorify God, period. And the circumstances, the person next to you, has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Worship and glorify God without complaining and disputing. Secondly, become equipped to serve. That's what we're here for. It's for us to allow God to work in us and our heart and become equipped to serve. I have a verse. I don't know if the it's going to be on the PowerPoint here. I'm going to emphasize two parts of verse 13. But Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you." It is God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. The Christian life is not about us doing what we want to do or having things our way. It's not about serving ourselves. It's about us serving God by serving one another. It's our attendance here as we are this morning is where we become equipped to do that. Now there is no question that we can learn a lot by being, for lack of a better way to say it, self-taught. Obviously, it's the Spirit of God that teaches us from His Word. But we can read books and learn how to do things. We can read the Bible and by the Spirit of God, learn about ourselves, learn God's plans and purposes for our lives. But really, the best training ground for the Christian life is real life. It's when we come together and together are equipped from God's Word, interacting with one another, being taught, being with one another. My son was homeschooled, and I know there are a lot of different opinions out there about homeschooling, but we did, Janine and I, we found one downside to homeschooling, and part of that was Andrew, our son in particular, was very good at being self-taught. He didn't need much help from us in his homeschooling. He was very good at learning things by himself. But through that, after his schooling was over, we caught a couple things that kind of got through the cracks. And one of them was his pronunciation of a couple words. Because he was self-taught, and he wasn't with other people to learn in real life what those words are supposed to sound like. All right. He two words he used were derbies and grass. Gross and debris. It wasn't until he got into real life that he learned the truth about those words. And we can, like I said, we can learn a lot on our own from God's Word, but it's our interaction with one another in real life where the real learning takes place. It's times like right here and right now. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, and he gave, and he's speaking of Jesus here, and he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's right here and right now in real life as we are together that we truly learn how it works in real life. The body of Christ is the church, even the local church. And we are told directly in that Ephesians passage that God himself gave some. He gave these individuals for the equipping and training of the body of Christ. Yet there are many Christians who don't come to places like this. They don't interact with other believers very much. They become maverick Christians. And oftentimes, it's because they had a complaint or a dispute about a circumstance or a person in a local church. It's all full of hypocrites. They're all hypocrites. They don't sing the songs I like. I don't like the way the leadership organized themselves. I'm never going back. And again, we're not talking about truth versus fallacy, okay? Error in a church, false teaching in a church is a reason to leave, okay? We're talking about circumstances and people, okay? Well, you're going to find people and circumstances that you don't like everywhere you go. And if everywhere you go, you run into the same problems. Yeah, you know exactly where I'm going. You might be the problem. Okay? We need this training ground. We need this training ground. We need to be equipped. Okay? And it's time to be equipped to serve without complaining or disputing. Thirdly, this morning, serve one another. Take the equipping that we've just received and use it. serve one another. That is how we serve God. That is how we glorify God, is by serving one another. And this is a great place to do it. And I'm not just talking about inside of this room or inside of this church building. I'm talking about out in life. Serve one another. Serve one another. This is the actual utilization and practice of what we've been equipped and gifted to do. Again, verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure." This is us doing what we do because it pleases God. This is what God wants of us. This is us utilizing to the utmost our God-given gifts and talents to please God and serve one another. Many years ago now, I asked a young man to teach a brief lesson at one of our men's breakfasts, and he was really excited to do it. I could tell that he invested a good deal of time in preparing and was very excited about what he was going to get to teach. But then he, one other person, and I were the only people that showed up. And as he's looking at two other people other than him, he said, "Well, maybe I should teach it next time when more people are here." And I said, "Well, we're here. Maybe it's us that God wants to speak to through you." And really, it was apparent, perhaps out of immaturity, that he wanted to teach for his pleasure, for recognition, for attention, and not, or at least less, for God's pleasure. He was being self-serving, not of a mindset of serving the people that God just placed in front of him. And I tell you, I get it. I get it. One of the churches that I pastored during my time at Bible school, there were Sundays that I preached to five people, and three of them were my family. Okay? But it's still for God's good pleasure and should be done with the utmost of our God-given abilities, gifts, talents. We, in whatever circumstance, need to give our best. Our best. Which means it's without craving recognition. While there's nothing inherently wrong with being recognized for the gifts or talents or abilities that God has given us, recognition should not be the reason we serve. Also without needing attention. I know that's closely related, but in other words, our service is not about pointing people to us. It's not about those we serve glorifying us. Our service is, again, about pointing the attention to God. After all, He's the one that gave us the talent, the ability, the gift. And also it's without envy of others. You see, our complaining, our disputing about others can often come from a heart of envy. In fact, we began this morning talking about that exactly. Complaining often comes from, well, envying what God is doing in another person's life. So we do it without the envy of others and without the criticism of others. This too we mentioned earlier. Sometimes we criticize and complain about others as a means perhaps to exalt ourselves. So we need to ask ourselves, why am I serving? Am I really doing this for God, or am I doing it for me? And if I'm doing it for God, does it matter at all if someone else does it different than me? If someone else gets the credit for that great building idea? And I'll just say this. This is another thing we're prone to, okay? If we've been thinking about someone else through this list, oh, I hope so-and-so is hearing this. We're missing the plot. We're missing the plot. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Exactly. That's exactly how it ends. Amen. This is about us serving our God to the best of our God-given ability and being thankful for every opportunity to do so. Without complaining. Without disputing. And then lastly, and in closing this morning, go and make disciples. Teach them what Jesus taught you. Teach them by living out your salvation before them. As you have learned, teach. And that means teaching everything from the way of salvation to the working out of our salvation. That means doing it through our words, our attitudes, our actions. Verse 16 of Philippians chapter 2 begins by saying, holding forth the word of life, holding forth the words of truth and joy, and in contrast to everything that's going on around us in the world, in contrast to the crooked and perverse generation that we live in. And in so doing, we will shine as lights in the world. We will live the word of life out in our lives as we do it without complaining and disputing. As we pursue and practice our faith without complaining or disputing. We do those things without complaining or disputing about those things that just really don't matter. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But if we're complaining and disputing just like the rest of the world, nobody's going to want what we have. If we're complaining and disputing just like the rest of the world, they've already got that. Why would they want more of it? Right? And that's Paul's point exactly. The world won't want what we have if it looks the same as what they already have. We're already complaining. We don't need more to complain about. But that's not the plot of salvation. And so portray it, or I should say to portray it in that way, is a lie. It's a misrepresentation of the gospel. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. So do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Father, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for the conviction that you brought to my heart personally through it. Lord, I know I'm prone to complain. I'm prone to want my way. I'm prone to dispute others to get my way, and especially in things that truly just don't matter. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Help us now to go forth from this point, grateful for this reminder, grateful that you're exposing that trait and that nature in us, but grateful too that you have given us the power to shine. You've given us the power by your Spirit to hold our tongue, to remember the plot, to remember that it is you and you alone that are worthy of praise and glory and honor. You and you alone that are worthy of serving you by serving others with all of our might, with all of our ability, with all of our talents, with all of our gifts. Lord, may we begin anew this morning in that regard. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.